The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Graham Linehan is with me now, the comedy writer who is moving to the States, I understand, Graham. Tomorrow, is that right?
No, next week sometime.
Next week sometime.
Yeah, I'm still packing boxes, and this is a welcome respite from all that. So thank you for inviting me.
So this is a packing boxes. This is not just a kind of a short sojourn. You are fully up in sticks and moving to Arizona. Is that right?
Yeah. Basically, a few friends of mine, Andrew Doyle and Martin Gourlay, told me that they were starting a production company in the U.S., and they told the boss, who was Rob Schneider, that there was a comedy writer who's been put out to pasture for standing up for women and girls, and he should come along. So, I'm just going to go and give it a go.
And when you say give it a go,
see how I get on.
Have you got a plan already kind of in motion in terms of giving it a go? Have you started to write something? Is there a project in the works?
Yeah, I'm just starting on the fourth episode of a new sitcom. I can't say much about it, except it follows along in the same style as my earlier stuff, with the exception that it's mostly single camera. So it's going to be a slightly more realistic, but still silly and surreal show using the kind of, Seinfeld Curb Your Enthusiasm style, because I'm a huge fan of Larry David and how he constructed stories. So, yeah, I'm just going to be doing what I used to be able to do 6 years ago.
And is this going to play to your kind of current wheelhouse, if we'll describe it that way? Is this kind of going to immerse yourself in the culture wars, or is this something else entirely?
Again, I can't really say much, but I think one thing that's been happening for the last 5 or 6 years is that my fellow comedians have been doing their best to ignore almost everything that's happening in the real world. This will be a comedy that kind of grasps the nettle of certain issues, race, the kind of bizarre ideas about gender that are floating around and everything in between. But one thing I will say is that one of the reasons Father Ted was so loved was because we accidentally kind of created a family. And we have a similar setup here. We have a sort of stand-in for a family. And I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be good. I'm very happy with the episode so far. We're laughing a lot. Mm. And I'm in the zone. When you're in the zone, when you've got a good premise and some good characters, then everything you see is a potential source of comedy. And that's nice. I haven't felt like that in years. So, it's great.
So what's that been like then to get back working? I know there have been a few tilts at it over the last couple of years, and you've spoken to me about them on the show before, but I wouldn't say they've come to naught. You've been back up on stage, for example, but, that wasn't without its difficulty as well. So what's it like to just be concentrating on kind of writing new episodes of a show?
Well, I did write a memoir that no one has, that, is still being hidden by bookshop workers. That went very well. So I was able to be funny in that. It was kind of like, to be honest with you, the effect of having the Father Ted musical stolen from me and my colleagues kind of betraying me to make a fast buck was so kind of destabilizing and upsetting, especially since I've known some of these people for over 30 years, that it was very hard to do anything. And also I was constantly under attack from the media and from trans activists. So it was a very stressful time. There were times where I couldn't even think straight. I was under so much stress. Now I have this opportunity to relax a little bit. For the first time, I just feel that sense of kind of safety. That means you can kind of write comedy. It's a pretty good time for me at the moment.
Do you imagine yourself in the States, kind of immersing yourself in those issues again? I mean, I'm sure you'll kind of still be online, as it were, on Twitter or X. But
it's my Substack. It's my Substack really where I address these issues. I mean, for about 5 years now, we've been producing a weekly update on the various crimes being committed against women and children in the name of gender ideology. And that'll definitely be continuing. In fact, I'm broadening it and getting in a few new writers to work for me. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a small world with the internet. People are saying, I'm sad to see you go, but, you know, I'm still going to be here in a sense, because everywhere is here now, you know.
But do you have any concern that by continuing with that work, when you go to the States, that the same thing happens there as happened here?
Well, the same thing did happen there, you know. I mean, the same people who call J.K. Rowling a bigot in the U.S. Are, you know, call me the same. So, you know, but I think that the mood is changing very quickly. Of course, yesterday, Trump signed an order to ban men from women's sports. And I think that the longer these, you know, things keep happening that should have happened years ago, the more people will realize how badly treated we've all been, those of us who saw that this was happening and tried to stop it. You know, I genuinely thought when a man was beating up women at the Olympics, that would be the end of it. But even then, no one said anything. So I'm just looking forward to the next few years and continuing the activism and watching the cowards who kind of let me swing in the wind admit they were wrong.
Do you think that, I mean, despite the fact, as you say, that your experience in the States is similar to that in, say, the UK and Ireland, one of kind of condemnation or kind of accusations of bigotry, do you think that more broadly your kind of views on gender and trans ideology and all of that, that will find a more receptive audience on the other side of the water?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it was 78% of people when asked, said that they, 28% of Americans when asked, 78%, God, can I get through a sentence? 78% of Americans when asked said they didn't support men in women's sports. So, you know, that's the vast majority of people don't support this stuff. You know, there's a nurse at the moment being put through a tribunal because she did not want to get undressed in the same room as a man. And she is now having to defend this very basic human right that women won 100 years ago, over 100 years ago. And it's and most people in the real world agree with it. The only people who don't agree with it are the media. Like the Irish Times today published a headline that's just a lie, saying that Trump banned transgender females, I think was the word the phrase they used. And it's literally just the media that is propping up this ridiculous ideology, because, of course, Trump didn't ban any kind of female from women's sports. He banned men.
You'd see that as a lie. I mean, that's just their kind of style guide, is that they refer to kind of people who identify as trans women as trans women. I mean, people who go further, Graham, and they say they should drop the word trans altogether, and they'd say trans women are women. And actually, the Irish Times should be going further than that. They should just say Trump has banned women from women's sports.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's what this whole thing is. Like another poll I saw said that a lot of people who hear the word trans women think that it refers to trans identified women. So they think girls are being stopped from playing these sports, and it's not true. It's great hulking men like Leah Thomas, most famous one, was a swimmer, 6'4". Leah Thomas was. And swimming, elite swimming, is a sport where the difference between first and second is often measured in millimeters, you know? So this is just a bunch of blokes who were taking the pee with the blessing of the media and various elites who have these privileged beliefs that they will never, you know, a lot of the people who believe this stuff, people who work in publishing, the media, theatre and so on, they will never have to go into a rape crisis shelter, God willing. They don't have to go to a shelter for homeless people, and they won't ever know the fear that comes from being placed in what's supposed to be a women only space with men. And you know, the fact that Limerick Prison held that Barbie Kardashian lunatic, where women have to pass by him and listen to his disgusting curses at them, an absolute psychopath.
Well, so
who despises women, you know. He's still in Limerick prison, I believe.
As a member of that kind of gilded media elite, then, why do you think? And listen, there'll be people, and they're, look, you know yourself, they're already getting in touch in the text line. Absolutely, they reject the arguments you make. But let's just assume for a moment, kind of, not assume you're right, but let's go with your argument. Why do you think that view, there's a majority view in the media that represents a kind of minority view in the public?
Simply because people in the media are better off than most people in the public, you know. These are in the theatre and in publishing and so on. These are quite, like, for instance, publishing is a very good example. The people who work in publishing aren't just middle class, they're upper middle class. And these are people who find it very easy to virtue signal, while people at the other end of society,
do people who work in the theatre...
Just let me finish my point. While the people at the other end of society, like the women in Limerick Prison, are suffering because of their beliefs. So it's basically an elite who have completely cosseted themselves from the reality of what most normal people know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know anyone in the publishing industry directly. I don't know how much money they earn. But I know people in the theatre industry, and I don't think they'd be kind of upper middle class. Most of them are kind of scratching by.
Sure, but when you say scratching by, it's often because the theatre is a place where theatre kids, who are often middle-class kids, end up, because, you know, it's not a matter of survival. Their work is not a matter of survival to them. But I don't want to go into, like, just isolated I'm not saying, it's basically, there's a different thing going on in theatre as well, which is theatre has always been a home for outsiders and gay people and so on, and that's brilliant. But unfortunately, amongst these groups, a sort of social contagion has spread, where they are they have a kind of shared belief in this ridiculous nonsense that has spread amongst them. So it's kind of a mix of a bunch of things going on. It's a social contagion. It's a mass delusion. You know, I mean, I want to say it very, very clearly. There's no such thing as trans. There's no such thing as trans. There's transsexuals, certainly. But aside from transsexuals, we really are left with a vast majority of men who call themselves trans have no intention of getting.
Sorry, when you say, can I
operations or anything like that?
When you say there's no such thing as trans, so I guess the belief, as I understand it, and I'm far from an expert in this area, but the belief is that they are kind of born in the wrong body, as it were. So, you obviously reject the idea that someone can be born in the wrong body, and there's lots of people getting in touch who would agree with you on that front. Do you accept that they believe that they are born in the wrong body?
I do believe that gender dysphoria is a thing, but I think just like when a report on anorexia was produced, I can't remember, I think it was Time magazine back in the 60s, anorexia cases just spread throughout the Western world. Now we have the internet. So trans is sort of anorexia 2.0. Like, there's no greater damage you can do to yourself than cutting your breasts off or taking hormones that means you have to have a hysterectomy in your 20s or 30s. You know, this is like a slow form of suicide for a lot of people. And and rather than say, you know, validating them and saying, yes, you really are a boy or you really are a girl, they should be helped. You know, there's lots of comorbidities that go along with this catch-all description of trans, and they're not being helped. I know a terrible story about a young girl who is autistic, who died alone in a hotel room. She was also anorexic of starvation, because basically the government said, you're trans, and forgot about her, you know? So there's, and I know so many tragedies like this, because I've been talking about them for the last 5 years, while all the people calling me bigot have been looking the other way.
Well, the text Julie come in on the text line, Graham Linehan is a bigoted asshole, says one listener. He stinks of transphobia, says somebody else. Fair play, Graham. Good luck in the US. Ignore the Irish media, says another listener. A breath of fresh air from Graham. As a woman, I'm grateful to Graham Linehan for having the guts to stand up for my biological sex. Why is this man on the radio spewing this disinformation, says another listener. So you won't be surprised to hear a kind of division in the text line. With regard to your views, to kind of circle back around to the top, Graham, and
but trans activists
go on.
Can't trans activists can't deny any of this stuff. You know, the only thing they've ever had is abuse and threats. And, you know, you can see what happened to J.K. Rowling when she came out. You can see what happened to this nurse. It's everything that's been done to women and people like me is a warning to others not to look into this subject. And yeah, I mean, you know, if you don't think it's true, then show me the statistics or show me the stories that prove it's not true. You know, anyway, sorry.
I was just going to say before we go, and I appreciate that you can't say an awful lot about it, but I mean, if people are listening to this and they think I want to keep an eye on Graham's progress or where I might see or when I might see something he has written back on our screens.
Well, you know me, I'm very shy.
Shy and so retiring. You probably won't absolutely hear about it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'll be basically, if you follow me on Twitter at Glinner and follow my Substack, I'll be announcing everything through there. And, you know, the reason I can't really talk about the show is trans activists will try to scupper it before it even begins. So, yeah, we're just going to put our heads down, try and make it as quickly as we can and get it out before anyone can stop it. And I think you'll like it. I think you'll like it. One thing that I've always believed, and I really, you know, and I want to write this show to prove it, is that you can talk about these issues and make people laugh. And the idea that you're not allowed to is absurd. So, yeah, we're going to be absurd in a different way. And hopefully I'll be back to making people laugh.
Tough Crowd is the name of Graham's book that he wrote. He is, as he says, packing up the boxes, moving stateside next week, not tomorrow. Listen, Graham, thanks a million for joining us.
Not at all. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.